This is Chapter 6 of The War on Waste Paradox, read by Len Bertain. The next morning, the classroom was abuzz with people, groups, comparing their solutions. All of our solutions seemed to be pretty much the same. I was amazed that we could have such a big problem for so long without anyone noticing. I guess that as the company got bigger, problems like this just became the accepted way of doing business. When Dr. LB entered the room, we quieted down. He looked over at the chair where Mr. Grimes had sat yesterday. The chair was empty. Dr. LB was visibly annoyed, but then he smiled and said, "How'd we all do last night?" Gus was practically climbing out of his chair, so Dr. LB called on him. Gus said, "First of all, I want to say that this solution was a group effort. All of you obviously know Frank Brooks. Well, he was the one who came up with the original idea. The whole setup crew and Tony's crew worked on refining it. Frank and Tony seemed to really appreciate the recognition." Gus continued, "What we did was used one of the worksheets that we normally use to list the tools and jigs for setup as a model. We listed most of the pumps, valves, and control units that are required to build about 70% of our business. It turns out that about 24% of our parts account for 72% of our business." I couldn't figure Gus out. First, he acts like a jerk yesterday, and now suddenly he was really into this program. He stood up in front of everyone with great pride as he led the discussion. Gus continued, "Anyway, we've listed all the pump numbers on the left side of this sheet and listed all the possible valve and control numbers on the right. The only thing that the person taking the order has to do is check the appropriate boxes. We've left some space at the bottom of the order for them to write in any custom jobs. Does anyone have any questions?" No one raised a hand. They just clapped as he sat down. It was clear that Gus's solution was simple and workable. Bonnie raised her hand and said, "That's an excellent start. We're using an order form where we have to write the order out in longhand. This idea will make things a lot better and more accurate. I still think we have a problem after the order gets into the sales department and makes its way to the shop floor. I went over my sales contracts and found out that I had made a couple of errors. I also found that there were a few transcription errors from my paperwork to the shop floor. There are just too many opportunities to make a mistake every time an order is transcribed from one form to another." Bernard said, "In the engineering department, as part of the CAD-CAM system, there is a barcode scanner. If we could standardize the forms, I could write a program that would recognize the boxes and download the information on the work order right into the computer. We could eliminate a lot of steps and mistakes as well." The class began to applaud again, because most of us had always found Bernard very difficult. He was from France and felt that most Americans were beneath him. For some reason, he was now cooperating. Dr. LB was forced to raise his hand and ask for silence. He said, "Great, that's an excellent beginning, but we still have a long way to go." Before he continued, the door opened and Mr. Grimes entered. He asked Dr. LB if he could address the class. Mr. Grimes said, "First of all, I must apologize to you and to Dr. LB for being late this morning. I had a meeting that could not be canceled. To avoid that in the future, I have arranged my schedule so that I can be at this class throughout the rest of the training sessions. After what we discovered in class yesterday and talking again with Jack Prescott last night, I really see the value of this training. Originally, when Dr. LB told me that the value that I would get from the training, I figured he was just being overly optimistic, as all consultants are. Yesterday, though, I saw why he feels so strongly about where this training will lead. I'm really excited. This is going to be fun. I can see how we're going to follow this process, and it's important not only for you, but also for the company and me as well." After Mr. Grimes took his seat, Dr. LB went to the board and started writing. He said, "Thank you very much, Mr. Grimes. Okay. Like I said, we've got made an interesting beginning and an excellent beginning. There are a few more things we need to do with waste. The first thing I want you to do is take a couple of minutes and list all the wastes that you can think of. Remember, no blame. And be honest with your appraisal of a problem. When we had finished, Dr. Elby listed all the wastes that we had given him one by one on the board. Most of us had listed the same waste, so he put a number of times each waste was listed next to it. In all, we had identified 37 wastes. Dr. Elby went to the overhead projector and put a transparency on the machine, and he turned to the class. Before we get into any more specific wastes, let's look at waste from another perspective. In this chart, I have shown a representation of what we call gap analysis. A gap on this chart is the difference between what you can deliver and what the customer wants. Remember, this whole process is based on providing products to customers. Customers have a number of wants. You are able to deliver some of these, which is the area of the gap that overlaps between what the customer wants and needs and your capabilities. That area of overlap is the value-added products that you deliver to your customer. As we get into this process, the goal will be to examine what you're doing here, what are your capabilities, and whether any customers want what you have. Roland jumped in. You mean to tell me that we will be looking at the capabilities of this company compared to our competition? Very interesting, Dr. Elby. Bonnie and I just spent 2 months collecting some of that information. Dr. Elby smiled while responding to Roland, and we will have a chance to see how we stack up against your competition. How does it look? Roland continued, I think we're okay, but we're missing some market capabilities and opportunities because some holes in our product offering. Maybe we can look at that later. We certainly need to look at a number of new product introductions. Before we get off on this subject, Dr. Elby continued, can I have a show of hands? How many of you know who your competition is and what products they offer? A few hands went up. Roland, would you be prepared to share that information next week with us? Absolutely. I guess I see where we need more education for everybody in the company. I just assumed that everyone knew our competition. I do. But I guess the rest of you aren't exposed to our competition to the same extent that I am. I would love to share this information with all the classes. I'll make room for that in my schedule next week and spend 20 to 30 minutes in each class next week. Is that okay, Mr. Grimes? Mr. Grimes nodded a firm yes and stood up. Jack, will we be able to do everything that needs to be done to fix my business? Every time we talk, another major hurdle comes up. When's this going to stop? Dr. Elby walked over to Mr. Grimes and said, probably never. But does everyone in this room feel that we're making some progress? Everyone gave a vocal yes. Dr. Elby continued, Mr. Grimes, this process is made up of a large number of little steps. It's the way we eat an elephant, a bite at a time. We'll make it. Just be patient. Mr. Grimes sat down and let out a big sigh. Dr. Elby went back to the transparency and pointed to the waste area. And this is the waste created by you when you have capabilities that no one wants. And he pointed to the curve of their company's capabilities that did not overlap with the customer needs. This is what we call the waste of tribal knowledge. It is a skill that you don't need to do your job. It is a part of the tribal knowledge that has no value to the company, so it is a waste. It would be like having an expert welder when you don't need that capability. It's a nice capability, but it would be a waste if it were a skill that you didn't need. That is what this chart means. Waste appears not just as inefficiencies, but in wasted talent and failing to deliver the wants of the customer. Does everyone understand? Everybody indicated that they did, so Dr. Elby went on. During the rest of this week, we'll spend our time identifying and categorizing wastes. We've been pretty good so far, but I just bet there's some more waste lurking out there in the business. We've opened your eyes a little, but let's question everything and see if you can find some more wastes. That's the end of part one of chapter 6. Look forward to you in part 2.